This is a war, and this is your fate. We are the face of your new police state. We are the law, and we've got the guns. Statutory power, mandatory minimums. We are the SWAT. We're here for your pot and all the cash that you've got. We are adrenaline junkies taking orders from the czar. It's a no-knock raid. Don't be afraid. Paramilitary police stayed on parade. It's a no-knock.
Welcome to the Charles Carroll Society podcast. I am your host, Alex Barron, the self-appointed bard of the American Readout. This show is going to be kind of a little interesting. I think I'm going to title this show, just to be provocative and all, The Man, the Jew, and the New World Order. Yeah. My long-term listeners are going, oh, Lord, here we go. You know, as you know, commenters and things like that get you going on a site, doesn't it? And we can address this. And, you know, I believe that I have a fairly unique perspective on this, right? Some people can talk about some of this. Very few people can talk about a lot of this. So thank you very much. By the way, some of you have actually called our new sponsor of the site. Well, advertiser. She's a sponsor. She's not in the site at all. Not with the site, but not responsible for any of the content of the site. However, she's a good Christian woman, and her husband is trying to live the Catholic land movement in the America and getting back to the land. And living separately to people, you know, and she's out there trying to get stuff done, and her whole family's involved in that, and she is really helpful with people coming up here. She prays over the property. She knows of a lot of good people who are lived up here. Her name is Mary Joy, you know, making real estate or buying land in the readout a joy. Her phone number is 208-277-4613. That's 208-277-4613. And I want to thank the guys who are actually supporting the people who help bring you this show. Obviously, I need a lot more people like that. Obviously, to grow the show, we need a lot more people like that. Yes, I need to set up one of those pages where you guys can donate money and all that jazz if you chose to, or sponsor the show, Patreon account or something like that. Yes, I'll set that up. However, right now, you know, I really want to find other vendors and help and have people go out there and say, you know what, look, I advertised on the Charles Carroll Society with the American Readout and good things happen. And then I can grow. I think that's another way to do this. So I was happily surprised. They came by. Oh, you know, I saw her husband, and oh, you know, there's some guys are from your site are reaching out to us, and I really want to thank you guys for that. That kind of stuff is good. Also, the Christmas is coming up, the holidays are coming up, the feast of the Mass of Christmas. Mystic Monk Coffee has all kind of gift baskets and all kind of other jazz. I'm encouraging all of you guys. Please click through the link on Mystic Monk Coffee on the site. We have an affiliation with them. We get a little small percentage on every single thing you buy when you click the link to the site. So please take a look at that. First of all, get all your coffee there. A lot of us drink coffee, and those Mystic Monks, I think it's critical and amazing, by the way, that there are Catholics who want to get back to the very old school Gothic and preparing for the new dark age, and they're not really preparing. They just wanted to get back to living that they themselves want to get back to just living that simple life and living a life that has not existed in modern times. So they're building a Gothic monastery on top of a mountain in the middle of the American Redoubt. And that kind of stuff is really good. So if we can help those guys get along and move faster, that's good. You can help them by buying their coffee. That's their main way of making money. You can help the Charles Carroll Society by clicking through the Mystic Monk link on the site and then going over there and buying some coffee. We get a small percentage. And that's that helps do things, because who knows how long we can do this before they come for us. Anyway, let's take a look at some news. Here's news that we like to cover. Why do we cover this kind of news? Well, we cover this kind of news because I cover news that I don't believe is being well broadcast in other areas that have a motivating effect upon Christian conservatives. That's what I'm looking at. That's why I cover this news. This is the kind of news that I'm looking at that helped me motivate myself to get out of the suburbia. I mean, for the long-term listeners, they've been with me for 3 years. When I started this podcast, I was deep in occupied territory outside the wire. Now here I am on a 5-acre piece of plot land deep in the Redoubt. Yes, we could have bought some more land, but we'd had to be a little further. And for medical reasons, people who've been around know we had to be closer in. But imagine that. We started off there and we're here, and we've brought a lot of you along for the ride. So I cover news that motivates us to get out of Dodge. Out of Dodge. And that's what we're trying to do. All right, so international news. I was interestingly found a site recently that talks about Alberta separatist movement, Canadian. And I was amazed. So, you know, we're down here kind of focused on us, and it's good for us to pick up our head and occasionally look at what the Texas Republic is doing and look at other people who are trying to live separate from the system. Many people believe that we are a back-to-land movement. I don't know if that's exactly accurate. We're not back to land as in reject modern technology. Most of the people I know who are supportive of the American Redoubt, who live up here, they have all kind of technology. They have tractors and jazz and, you know, golf and shoot and whatever. I mean, just because they are ready or believe that they're a little bit more prepared to deal with the lights going off doesn't mean that they live with the lights off all the time. So I'm not sure it's back to the land movement. It is a homesteading, a modern homesteading movement where people have jobs in the city but raise some of their own food, responsible for some of their own food. So I don't think it's a really back to the land movement. And some people try to put us in that here, but it's important. The Alberta separatist movement really is something where they're trying to separate from Canada, because while Canada is kind of like America, I guess, and pure communist. I mean, parties that the guy was telling me, I was reading through his blog, and he was saying, you know, people who are absolute communist are actually out there, in power in their government. Kind of similar, I guess, very similar to what we're dealing with, right? You know, socialists, progressives, authoritarians. And it's a small thing, and he's trying to motivate people. I like what he says. He says, if we're ever going to get this movement off the internet, you know, in actual into real life, here's some changes we have to do. And I think what he's doing is pretty fascinating. I'm going to reach out to him. I'll put his website in the show notes for you guys to find. And hopefully that'll actually pass and not break iTunes just because you put a link in there. Hopefully that'll be good. And I'm really interesting to take a look at. I think he's a very interesting Alberta, Canada. You won't believe this. Abuts. The American Redoubt. It's north of Idaho. It's Canada north of Idaho, has its own separatist movement, completely unrelated. Just they're doing their own thing. They're the ones that have the oil sands, by the way. They're the ones that have, I think, the third largest resource, oil resource here. I mean, they're the Texas of oil sands. Now, they're a landlocked nation, so they're going to have to, just like the American Redoubt is landlocked, but who knows? I think that's an interesting piece on the board, an interesting potential part of the mix of what's coming next. So, things are moving around, and hopefully you guys are getting your stuff going too. So in national news, I tried to take some notes on I saw something and I just wanted to share it. It was amazing. It says, more people are registering with, it's election news. It's because we're in a presidential election. We do this every 4 years, so we cover it. Does the president, you know, what is my recommendation as the bar of the readout, American readout, my official recommendation? Focus on local politics. The more local, the better. Focus on who's running your mayor, who is running your county, who's your police chief. Focus on the constitutional sheriff movement of trying to elect absolute constitutional sheriffs, police chiefs, if they're elected or appointed. These people you focus on. And then you move up, if you're looking at your fire chief and school board and all that, those people that wear 300 or 30 people or 100 people, depending on where you live, or 40 people. And the American readout, if we as the American readout guys can connect, which we're kind of connecting, and if we lived in the same county, I mean, we can flip school board seats. That's a true statement. I mean, we could do that. I mean, if you look at these things, there's like 500 people who vote. I mean, if we have 50 people who are patriots, partisans, and who want to vote together, we'll say we're going to vote for this candidate. And I believe that those people can really have significant impact. So, as the official concept for politics for the American readout, when I say as the bar of the American readout, I believe that James Rawls and John Jacob Schmidt would agree with that statement. That's when I mean that I say things like that. I sometimes speak as myself, but I believe that they're, you know, everyone, all of them believe politics is local. Politics should be local. We should focus on local politics. And the American readout is a political movement, not a survivalist prepper movement. It's for people who are looking for to be able to politically and culturally live in peace. Conservative Christians, and James Rawls is often strong to say, you know, libertarian-leaning Christians and Jews, he's very strong in saying that, who want to live free of the system, free, you know, a little bit within their society. They want to be able to go to the bathroom without dudes in the bathroom with their daughters or their wives. They don't want some woman who's exploring being a man hanging out and literally, by the way, and I'm sorry to share this, I have seen this. I've seen a woman walk into a male bathroom, pull down her underwear, pull up her skirt, and bend over and pee in the urinal. Yes, I've seen that. Yeah, there's a lot of people who don't want to see that. No, but I've seen it. I'm the bard. I go places. I do things. And I often end up in places like I'm going, yes, well, that's why you have me. So let's get into the national news on the next segment. I'm your host, the Bar of the American Readout. You can reach me through the site, go through the contact page, drop me a note. And those I see all the time. I've seen several people been reaching out to me now. Occasionally, I collect those notes and actually answer them on air. So we kind of do that. Do that somewhat regularly. See you on the other side of the post, Alex Barrett.
Leo XIII did not originate Catholic social teaching. It goes back to the very earliest days of the church, but he applied it to modern economies. And if you look at Leo's teaching, and even more some of his successors like Pope Pius XI, who was Pope in the 20s and 30s of the 20th century, you find a rather clear doctrine that free market is not sufficient. It will not produce justice in and of itself, and that there needs to be regulation of the market. And this regulation could either be by the state or, better, by intermediate bodies. For example, some kind of a modern adaptation of the medieval guilds, which did similar work in the Middle Ages. Now, the recent statements of Pope Francis about the economy, some people thought, oh, this is really radical. Huh. If they would go back and read Pius XI, they would find it's not radical at all. Pius XI was quite critical of the free market, quite critical of the motives of people who took part in the free market. And this is just traditional Catholic teaching, nothing to be concerned about. In fact, even John Paul II, even in Centesimus Annus, the 1991 encyclical that some people widely hold to have overturned the previous social teaching, has many, many statements in there pointing out that market forces in and of themselves are not sufficient to orient an economy.
So the American Readout Movement, welcome back to the podcast. The American Readout Movement is all about politically acting locally, 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 locally. But we do pay attention to the presidential race. Yes, the presidential race gets a lot of things, but we don't throw a lot of resource by it. We are not sitting there trying to pour a lot of money. I'm not encouraging anybody to do that in the presidential race. We spent $1 billion on Mitt Romney. $1 billion all over the country could have led to a much better result, but it didn't. But I still do cover the, because it's a big thing. So one of the things I saw was, it's interesting, right? More people are registering, apparently because of Donald Trump, more people are registering with the Republican Party, especially in battleground states. In Iowa, Republicans are actually up by 19,000 registered votes in Iowa. So if every single Republican votes for Donald Trump, their elected leader, he wins. Well, he has to get at least 50% of the independents. I'll cover that in a minute. So he's up. Previously, he was not up. The Democrats tried to get all previous felons to vote. 80 or 90% of felons or more vote democratically. And guess how many felons are in Iowa? 20,000. The Democratic Party is brilliant in this way. They absolutely went there and said, we're going to get felons. We know that we'll capture 80% of those votes to vote. We're going to fight for them to have the right to vote. Why? Because they vote for us. It's too bad that a lot of felons don't split their vote more evenly. In my opinion, it's one of the core reasons why people don't like Mexicans and why the Republican Party, as they always goes, it's racist. No, not really. I mean, part maybe some people, but not really. And also because there's so many coming illegally. Yeah, that's a problem too. But is one of the things is you come and they vote. And they vote to change the country in a more socialist manner. And if you look at every single Hispanic-dominated nation, all of them are socialist basket cases. All of them. It's like African nations. We're all like, we love dictators. In Africa, it seems that everybody is a dictator. I mean, we just are plagued with men who can't go away. Very few countries have presidents who leave freely and quietly and peacefully, and where there's not just massive corruption. A few, Rwanda, Kenya is trying to crawl its way back out of the hole. There's a couple of countries that actually function in Africa, but in South America, socialist basket cases. And when people come here and begin to vote that way, then people don't like that. You come and vote to take people's guns. You come and vote to take people's religious liberty. You come and vote to support abortion. You come and vote to give police more power. You come and vote. All of these things you do by supporting the most socialist option on the table. I always said that if Mexicans voted like Cubans, well, if Mexicans voted like Cubans used to vote, you know, 80% Republican, then you'd have militias on the borders trying to get Mexicans in here, pushing them to swing states or whatever. Because people don't really, I mean, that's the difference. And we're going to talk about that when we talk about the man, the Jew, and the New World Order, about what you know, it's more complex than a lot of the people on these little talking heads have seen. I've come to realize that you and I, we've come to something that these guys haven't come to. We've discovered something. We've seen that society has advanced faster, and these guys don't know, understand. Even if Trump loses, it's still something has been shown here, and they don't understand it, and we do. By the way, remember, thank you guys so much for sharing the podcast, for encouraging the podcast, for Facebooking the podcast, because tweeting the podcast, because I'm here to tell you that you're sitting in an audience right now in this podcast that's larger, that is larger than the audience you sit in when you go to Mass on Saturday, on Sunday. It's most likely larger than when you go to even a Protestant church, a big one, okay? That's a lot of people. You're sitting in an audience right now next to people listening to my voice. That's, you look around, well, you can't look around, but virtually look around, you're going, okay, there's a lot of people getting this. And I'm asking people to call our the supporters, the people who market on our site, and there's people who are actually getting that. Last week, a very important podcast came out, And then, of course, we had all these problems with people actually hearing the podcast. And it was about how we're going to deal with Muslims. Educate, pray first, pray for the persecuted church, educate your fellow people, and then we have to convert these people. That's what we need to do. That we need a section of us, not all of us, a section of us to be working on that problem right there. Boom. And that, and guess what? There are probably people here already going, you know what? We're going to try to do some of that. So we take this stuff very seriously. We may be a small audience, but we're active. So they're up 19,000. Democratic advantage is down in Florida. Before, when President Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, won Florida's electoral votes, 535,000 more Democrats were registered. Right now, because of so many Republicans registering to vote for Trump, you appear, they're registering now. We don't know why they're registering. The only thing we can think of is they're registering to vote for Trump. The Democratic, and I forget, President Obama won by 100,000 votes or something, 200, very small margin, tiny margin, if you think about the number of votes cast, okay? He had a 535,000 more Democrats are registered. Guess what it is right now? Guess what it is today? 258. The GOP, the Republican Party, has been the Democratic Party's advantage over the Republican Party in Florida has been cut in half, from 535 to 258. Remember, he only won like by 100. So you're going, ooh, that's ooh. So all it, and North Carolina, right? North Carolina had an advantage when President Obama won of registered voters, 818,000 voters to 645,000 voters, and Romney won North Carolina by 93,000 votes. When he won, Democrats had an advantage of 818,000 votes. Now, they only have an advantage of 645. Republicans have always said, man, if we could get more people who are not Republicans in the party. Man, if we can get more independents to vote for us. Man, if we can get more of this support. This is what Republicans responded. And then when that happens, one of the stories that's not being covered, why I covered it here, is that Trump is winning independents by huge margins. Way more than Hillary. He's winning independents. So all these people are registering in the Republican Party. They're active to vote. They're moving the vote. The alt-right part of it, not all of it, some of it is alt-right. Some of it are people, whatever, are registering to vote. And guess what the Republicans' response is? We're mad because we don't like those people. We're mad because we're going to win. We're mad because the only thing the Republican Party does is have nice, gentlemanly guys who pretend like they run and then lose all the time. That's what they have. And if any guy comes up here and actually says, I'm going to do everything I can to actually win, they get mad. So their independents are showing up. Minorities are showing up to a small degree. I mean, they keep getting mad because 20% or 30% of Hispanics are voting for Donald Trump. And they're like, oh, my goodness, you should, like, that shouldn't be. That's why Hillary right now is actually going after the minority vote, because the minority is like, well, I might not vote for Trump, but I ain't voting for you either. And they're like, I can stay home. The evangelical stayed home, or Mitt Romney would be president right now. So she's really trying to push to get minorities in. And Trump is doing a good job going, hey, I'm not your enemy. I'm not your problem. And a lot of white people, by the way, say, I'm not your problem either. I mean, literally, I'm not living in Baltimore. If what you want to do in Baltimore is your business, just stop taking my stuff. Really, that's it. Stop taking my stuff. And you, hey, good luck. You know, send me a letter, send some pictures or something, you know, watch the sports, great, good football, yay, but stop taking my stuff. The GOP's mad because there's literally people trying to help them win, because they don't want to win. They want to say, oh, well, you know, I don't want to win like that. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So I thought that was pretty amazing. I was stunned. I had not heard these numbers. that so many people are trying to register to vote for Donald Trump. And finally, Donald Trump has, I think he's up to 88% support among Republicans. If he gets the 90% support, 9 out of 10 Republicans will vote for their own nominee, and he continues to hold with the independents that he has, he's the next president. By the way, remember I told you that all the world polling is mostly junk. The only value is the average of the polls. That's why Real Clear Average, Real Cool Poll, I mean, they are such a huge number, is because our website, because they just average the polls. And out of their average polls, one of the polls I like to watch is the money. Vegas has betting. It's a capitalistic system. So all the people talking your ear, yak, I think Trump's going to win. Me, I go, Trump has a 30% chance of winning. That's literally what I say. Why? I get it right from the Real Clear Average. They have a betting. What are the odds? What are the Vegas odds? Right now, before, he had a 20% chance of winning and it was going down. Now he has a 30% chance of winning and it's going up. So good luck to him. So all right, when we get back, we're going to talk about the alt-right movement, the man, the Jew, the New World Order, you know, what the American readout movement can learn from them, what we don't learn from them, and, you know, our differences. I really want to get into the alt-right movement and take a look. I'm your host, Alex Barron. The Twitter handle is at @MRAlexBarron. @MRAlexBarron. I'll see you on the other side of the break.
Woody Barbecue, all the fish markets, some of the beauty supply stores on Crenshaw and Rainbow on La Brea. You can buy you some clothes. How much you got on your EBT card?
Girl, I got enough to get it turned up. I done took the kids to the babysitter.
Which liquor store take the EBT card? Where y'all get that Patron last time?
Public service announcement. This is where the taxpayer money goes.
Wonderful. Well, why don't you just tell the audience a little bit about, you know, who you are, where you came from.
Welcome back, Charles Carroll Society Podcast, self-appointed Bard of the American Readout. So, something called, and again, part of this is to keep our audience up to date on stuff going on that's active out there. Something has called the alternative right. A movement has started it's been there. But with the Donald Trump winning the Republican nomination, it's kind of hit the spotlight because he is often being pushed into dealing with the alternative right. Oh, you're supported by the alternative right. He says, well, I really don't know anybody in alternative right, blah, blah. There's other people who are involved with the alternative right. I think it's very interesting. Group, I've kind of known who they are for a while. They come by the blog a little bit. They come by the blog here. They like some of the posts. They don't like the others. You know how that works. To me, so let me tell you what the alternative right. The alternative right is people who believe in what they call white identity. They believe in biopolitics, you know, politics of race. They believe that they basically want to be like the NAACP for white people. They're mostly a European-based, white people-based. They're very concerned with race and defending their race and promoting their race. But where the thing of interest from our perspective, remember, the American readout under James Rawls, as defined by James Rawls, is race neutral. Doesn't care about race, doesn't want to talk about race, race neutral. You're a libertarian, you're welcome. If you are a person who believes in small government, we want to associate with you. If you're a Christian or Jewish conservative libertarian, we really want to talk to you about getting up here, everyone helping out. That's just simple facts right there, 100%. Now, for me personally, I've been interested. People have accused me of being in the alternative right, so I'm like, what is the alternative right? You know, okay, well. So the alternative right is like, you know, people call them racist, but they're really about promoting white people. Now, here's where they trip my trigger, of course. They're also into promoting Western culture, Western civilization, Christianity, not just as one neutral among the world, but as the preferred culture and religion for Western people. Now, something that alt-right doesn't talk about a lot is that you can don't have to be white and actually be very, well, prefer to live in a Western culture which promotes Christianity. You know, that's where they don't lose it. My focus is on the culture. A lot of alt-right people are into white identity. They believe in we're not ashamed to be white, and they're promoting. So why did the other side completely miss this? Why did progressives and liberals and weirdos miss this? Let me tell you something. I mean, I'm not a young guy, but I'll tell you. White kids, black kids, brown kids, all kids, they grow up listening to NWA. There's not a kid in America who doesn't know what NWA is. There's not a kid in America that doesn't see filthy, rich, black rap hip-hop artists on TV all the time. These kids don't have racist views like there were 70 years ago. And they're kind of getting sick and tired of paying the piper over something they have no involvement in doing. And one of the things the alt-right has tapped into is, in my opinion of the alt-right, I've tried to explain with the alt-right. A guy came out there, a couple of guys come out there, they were really big. They have Vox. They have this Vox website, which is kind of their hub. I think it's alternateright.com. Remember, Tor browser, all of this. Tor browser, all this, if you're going looking for it. I keep telling you guys, be as gray man as you can. They kind of do Vox, they kind of do this, they kind of do that. And they've become kind of big, and then they were getting a little traction, and then a lot of their people kind of got behind Trump because they saw him as the best alternative. Now, again, a lot of people who are young, and this is where the Republicans lose it. Basically, the alternative right is offering the Republican this. We're going to be in the best way, the way that I would take it, the way that I want to take it. We are going to be a party that promotes Western values. We're going to be a party that promotes traditional Orthodox Christianity. We're going to be a party that is not ashamed to be white. In America, there are, a few states now, and they're going to be growing, where actually Americans of European descent, i.e. white people, are not the majority. In other words, the minorities, the sum of the minorities are more of a larger percentage than the majority, than the people who founded the nation. So in this market, when 99% of everyone who had money was white and 99% of everyone who didn't have money was black, an affirmative action based upon race might work. Affirmative action, its best case is trying to say, we're going to forcibly prime the pump to get poor people out of their situations because we don't want a permanent underclass. If you want to base that on race, 70 years ago, there is an argument to be said. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm simply saying we in this audience are smart. We want to look at facts. There is an argument for that. But 70 years later, there are a lot of poor white people too. There are a lot of white people kind of trapped in poverty too. Hispanics and white, I mean everyone. So you would think that affirmative action would move from being race-based to being like, if you're going to keep affirmative action, which I'm not saying you do, but if you're going to make the argument, you can say that, hey, we have succeeded. Why can't we all just be like, yeah, dang, man. I'd rather be an American now in the 21st century than an American in 1940. I'm happy. We've made massive improvements. So because of that, why can't we just shift affirmative action from being like a race-based situation to an economic-based situation? And we don't even have to do it quickly. We just do it slowly. Just shift it. So that poor people who are poor, we give them a push in getting to college. Yep, you know what? If your family makes less than whatever, we're going to give you an extra push to get a college. Why? Because we're trying to break the cycle of poverty. We are literally, you know, again, a proper society would have a government that was less involved in everything. Everything. But we fight the war in the battle space that we have. So that's kind of the alt-right. It's like, why do we have affirmative action based on race now when we have a whole bunch of freaking millionaires, blacks? Why? Why is Colin Powell's kid getting any kind of advantage? I mean, he's had every advantage in life, and there's a lot of poor white people. And people go, of course, you're racist. That's why they go, you're part of alt-right. I don't even know what the alt-right was. I had to go study it. You're racist. That's just logic. I mean, you can say, why can't we take a lap? We have done a great thing. I'll tell you, being a minority in America now is a lot better than being a minority in America in the 1930s. That's just the truth. No one can say that's not the truth. And so why can't we advance? No, can't. Really, people? All right, that's why you have young people who grew... These people aren't like... here's the deal. They call 1488ers. What the Republican Party and the Democratic Party try to accuse the alt-right of being is 1488. Now, you guys don't know 1488 is the hard, sheet-wearing Klansmen, neo-Nazis running around randomly beating up freaking people for no damn good reason. Hey, there's two gay guys. We're going to beat them up. That's going to solve anything. We're going to lynch that guy. We're going to lynch that freaking interracial couple over there. That's what we're going to do. And you know what people do? They pull out guns and shoot you. They lynch you. They want to kill you. Not the minorities. The people who run around killing people for no damn good reason. We call those the 1488ers. There are 14 words of like the white thing. It's like, I am a white person and my most important thing is, preserving the white race and keeping things safe for my kids or something like that. It's 14 words. And that's very important. 88 is a reference to the eighth letter of the alphabet being H, and Heil Hitler, HH, Heil Hitler. So the alt-right guys call these guys 1488ers. I mean, I like one guy. He's going, they're all homosexual, war reenactors because they love to have all kind of Nazi paraphernalia. You're like, dude, it's not 1933. We don't live in a place that's 99% Aryan freaking Germany. These solution that you're trying to, you're just all lost. You're lost. Either improvise, adapt, and overcome, or you just go over there in the corner and march around in your little Nazi paraphernalia. Hey, let me tell you something. As a person who is accused of being part of the alt-right, as a person who's accused of being a white supremacist, okay, let me tell you something. The Nazis lost. All right? The South lost. I like to look at winners and figure out how they won. I don't care. I don't care why they lost. It doesn't matter. We lost in Vietnam. You know what the military did? Dang. How did they beat us? Go back, adapt, improvise. And the military decided that they were going to create special forces to fight like the Viet Cong, and every branch had to have them. They didn't even want them. Yes, you have to have someone who fights like the Viet Cong. But that's not how we fight. Well, that's what you're going to fight now. We adapt. Yet the 1488ers, no, they want to march around. So that's how the alt-right are like, they're more political, more savvy, a lot smarter guys involved with it, but they are not ashamed to be white. They're saying, hey, I have a real question. We have in colleges now whole programs to promote the most positive view of African history, African studies. It does talk a little bit about the problems, but it talks a lot of bit about how great African history. Where is the European history promotion? Where is the Western civilization promotion? We're studying Islam in school. It's okay to study Islam in school. Okay, all right, okay. Why can't we study Christianity in school? Oh, yeah, separation church, blah, blah, blah. Well, that doesn't make any damn sense. So there's a lot of stuff that the alt-right promotes that I am sympathetic to, but I don't consider myself part of the alt-right. One of the interesting things, the alt-right is just kind of a bramble of people. They don't have a thing that they're trying to do. They don't have they're defined as what they're against more than what they're for, because they can't really get it together. I mean, there are Ron Paul guys there. There's a whole bunch of people. But I'll tell you one thing that's interesting is the alt-right doesn't like the 1488ers. And because these yahoos on MSNBC and CNBC and all these guys, you sit and hear them talk, they don't know the difference between an alt-right guy and a 1488 guy. And let me put it into black terms. There's a difference between the old Black Panther Party and the new Black Panther Party. Who knows what's the difference? The All Black Panther Party wasn't that racist. They were really an anti-cop movement. There were brown panthers. They didn't care. There was Black Panthers showing up with white people all the time. But the new Black Panther is a black supremacist organization. Why does the Nation of Islam, who is a kind of like the alt-right, that's where they're more closer to, really. Why does Nation of Islam exist? Why do they support Black Lives Matter and the left is like, okay, that's cool. But the alt-right is like, we're going to support this presidential candidate. Oh my goodness, the world's coming in. Whoa, 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 whoa. Because Nation of Islam is very, very racist. I mean, but it's not a black supremacist organization. It's more like a black nationalist organization. They want their own nation. They want to form their whole thing is, their whole dream is to form their own nation. Here in America, not go back to, I mean, if you're truly black and you really want to form your nation, you just, you know, like we're doing like the American readout. And if you're doing like the Free State Project, you just do something like, you know, take over Liberia. I mean, because Liberia is the, you know, that's where they pushed and purchased that land from people to rehouse a whole bunch of Americans of African descent. But they're not about that. They want to put their nation here. But that's their dream. It's a black nationalist story. Why did they? Because they're not violent. You don't see the Nation of Islam often getting caught lynching white people, running up in houses, beating up. And the alt-right's not like that. They're like, let's just do this peacefully. Let's motivate people to do this. So they haven't had. So what is the issue that I like about the what don't I like about the alt-right? So that's the alt-right, 1488. Nothing to do with the American readout movement, except to know that there's a lot of people accuse the American readout movement of being in line with the alt-right or having the same values of the alt-right. He's like, it's easy to be whatever when you don't have any minorities in it. And the people are going, really? The people who speak for the American readout don't have any minorities in it? Oh, yeah. You don't know who's married to who. You don't know who's adopted who. You don't know who spent massive time doing evangelical work in different countries. You don't know that. And are very comfortable being around people like this. You don't know that. Because culture, race, and things like that are more complex. You've got people who are white who feel more comfortable being in black society, and that's their right. That's one of the things I don't like about the, I don't agree with y'all, right, is I don't believe in authoritarian governments. I believe in less government at all times. That's 100% difference. But you won't catch the mass media talking about that. I mean, we are libertarians. We want to reduce the size of government. Why? Because we believe that we can live freely on our own. Okay? We can live more free and more independent on our own. The alt-right is really into authoritarian governments. You know why? Because you can't tell anybody who to marry if you don't have authority. I mean, who you're sleeping with is your business. You know? It's not your neighbor's business. It's your business. Really. Well, so they're more in line, like I said, with not like the new Black Panther Party. They're not in the streets like the Black Lives Matter. But if you go to a Black Lives Matter, you talk to Black Lives Matter, there's a heavy undertone of race involved with that. The alt-right is very similar, in my opinion, but there's a heavy undertone of race in their issue. And it's not surprising when kids are being raised as just one more racial group, yet there are structures around clubs, around built around all the other racial groups, and things have changed now. The country's not 90% white anymore. So why is this such a bad thing for white men to want to make a white male club? I mean, you could claim that a whole bunch of time ago that they may blah blah blah, but now they're just one race out of many. The professors, the university professors, all these people are different races. I mean, it's not like it was. I could see a situation where people get less issue with this. And that's the part of the alt-right that I'm kind of cool. And that I'm like, well, you know, sympathetic to at least. And, you know, they really oppose the 1488 crowd. They're like, you know, these guys are yahoos. These guys are losers. And I can see that too. And so that's who they are. Now, the man, the Jew, and the New World Order. What has that got to do with everything? So we'll talk about that in our last segment. This is the Bart of the American Readout. The blog is Charles Carroll Society. And we are now on many different platforms, as I've shared with you for the podcast. So hopefully you guys can see that. Let me go here. The newest platform that we just got approved, and these are syndication. The show is now syndicated across Google Play Music. So you can now find us on Google Play Music. I think if you search for Charles Carroll Society, you'll find it. I don't know if you'll search for American Readout yet, you'll find it. But the show is on TuneIn, which has not fixed itself yet. I've been covering that on the site. It's still jacked up. It's on Stitcher, and Stitcher has fixed the thing, so you can hear the podcast without getting jammed. When I publish this podcast tonight, hopefully everybody can hear it and tell me if it's right. We're on Blueberry. Most people don't really use that, but if there is, they also have an app. It's obviously on iTunes. iTunes has finally fixed their thing. By the way, it's very interesting. And then we're also on Google Play. By the way, iTunes is very interesting. So iTunes says people who subscribe to the Charles Carroll Society also subscribe to, and it's Radio Free Readout, which I know, Ford Observer Magazine, which I know, but I don't know the Michael Bunker Show. So if anybody knows the Michael, because it says right here, the Michael Bunker Radio Show, he puts out a lot of stuff. So, he went offline. He hasn't put out any new shows. Oh, that's too bad. So he put out shows for 3 years, and he's gone. Well, that's too bad. So the Michael Bunker Show, it seems like the last show he puts out was released several years ago. And best-selling author. But a lot of people seem to listen to that guy back in the day. Radio Free Readout is out there. Ford Observer Magazine, and I don't know what Impact Radio is or Prepper Politics. So I was just going to look through there. If anybody knows those guys, let me know. On other ones, they relate us to TSP and stuff like that. So it's pretty good. All right, I'll see you back on the other side, and we'll talk about the man, the Jew, and the New World Order. I'm your host, Alex Barron, self-appointed bard of the American Readout.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Is there anything still worth fighting for? Because we are surrounded by a world that demands we submit, succumb, and believe in nothing. And more we do. The yes men who turn their heads when the boss breaks the rules. The cowards who pretend they don't notice the elderly man fall, and who walk right past the little girl who's way too young to be here alone, who raise the volume to silence a scream in the night. It takes courage to face the world at its worst, to run toward burning buildings and struggling neighbors, dishonesty, corruption, and abuse. Knowing what must be done won't be done unless you do it. That's what good guys do, and that's why we're still free. We're the 5 million men and women of the National Rifle Association of America, and we will never back down. Join us today.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to the Charles Carroll Society. I think the subtitle of this post is going to be something like, you know, the alt-right and how is it similar to American Readout? How is it different? How is it different? The American Readout movement is a race-neutral movement that is that motivates people to be a libertarian, a Christian libertarian cause. where we have less government, not more. We're against authoritarianism and we're race neutral. Where is it similar? The American Readout Movement and the alt-right promote Western civilization. They promote Christianity. They believe that it is, Western civilization is superior to other forms of civilizations. James Rawls kind of referenced this, and when he founded the American Readout, he said something to the effect of, people always call them racist. And he's like, yeah. But he's not a racist. And he goes and explains that. He goes, however, I'm also not hateful of who I am as a white person. I don't hate or I'm not ashamed of being a white person. And that's where the alt-right, where we agree, where we not agree, but we overlap. We overlap is maybe a better word. The better word is overlap. We both agree that, you know, no one, everyone has a right to defend themselves. Everyone has a right to be comfortable in their own skin. And America has made a game out of trying to make certain people uncomfortable in their own skin. So, the man, the Jew, the New World Order. In black culture, there's this theory of call, actually, the man in the street. And I think it's very, I thought it was apropos when I was listening to or hearing or, you know, talking to a guy on the post. And the way we use it is, the way blacks use it is the man. The man is like normally a white guy, imagined to be a white guy. And it kind of references, it's just a sum all of white men having power over black people. Like, oh, I didn't get that job. Oh, the man, you know, the man, he hooked you up, man. Like, as in the man did this to you. The man is all seeing. The man is all, not all powerful, all seeing, but pretty powerful. Like the man is the man. He's the man. Like, it's like a compliment to be like, oh, you're the man. Like, you're like the boss. But the man has this, also this racial undertone, like, the man did this, the man did that. Not like any specific individual, just this basket of individuals who have this power. We also have this theory called the street. Like, oh, don't get caught up in the streets. Oh, don't let the streets get up in here. We don't have none of that street stuff around here. What does that mean? It's this theory that, and it's an important theory. It's a theory that America and actually socialist progressive liberals and actually Republicans too, authoritarian Republicans, good Christian Republicans, have made it very easy for minorities to go the wrong route. The streets, getting caught up in the streets. It's very easy to get involved with drugs. It's very easy to get involved in the sex trade. It's very easy to do the wrong thing. Some people as libertarians talk about just being neutral. Yeah, I can see that. But in our society, our sick society right now, it's easy to do the wrong thing, the bad thing. And that's different than being neutral. It's not quite to the point. Well, maybe it is to the point where negative behavior is encouraged. First, negative behavior is available, like abortion. The man, this all-seeing, powerful person, makes murdering your baby available. And then he makes it easy. And then he encourages it. See how that works? It's that way about everything. Dropping out of school, you wonder why school? Because it's available. You can function once you drop out of school. Then they make it easy to drop out of school. And then there are certain elements that encourage you to drop out of school. That's true, man. That's true. Yes, people, this is one thing where we, as an audience, you know, we're ahead, once again, of the mainstream, lamestream, legacy media. Yes, we Republicans talk about, you need to be responsible for yourself. Yes, that's true. But what the Republicans don't understand is that this society, when it encourages a people to do negative things, more negative things will be done. And that's a problem. Are we encouraging the right thing? Are we encouraging self-sufficiency? Are we encouraging family getting married, staying married, and having a bunch of kids and being responsible for those kids? Are we encouraging a Western civilization based upon the golden rule and logic and thought and data? Are we encouraging? No, that's not being encouraged. So, yes, people all should be responsible for themselves. However, once you get into a failed state and you are encouraging negative behavior, it's kind of, you can't get mad. I mean, can't get that mad when you see a lot of negative behavior. So the man in the street, that's for blacks. That's for the Black Lives Matter guys. The man's always out to get me. And the streets, I got caught up in the streets. And that's, you know, hey, and then I end up shooting cops or whatever. I don't know what the hell, I don't know what the last part is, but whatever the last part is. That they will, you can have that conversation. The man, the street, the man got you. You got caught up in the streets. The streets are this concept, this way to voice that it's very easy and encouraged to do the wrong thing. Go to school, kid. Go to school, son. Don't get caught up in the streets. What does that mean? The street life, the fast life, the happy life. That, all of that about you're going to be dead by the time you're freaking 19 life. The man, the street. That's for blacks. So what is it for white guys? Well, I actually don't even know if the average white person has this boogeyman. It's not really a boogeyman. It's this concept. Yes, our country is so fallen, our culture is so fallen that negative things are encouraged. But the alt-right does have a boogeyman. It's called the Jew. Why is the white race aborting more than it's ever before? The Jew. Why is the white race having, you know, whatever problem? The Jew. I mean, either the Jew. Well, first of all, every Jewish person is not in on the big, rich, you know, dominate the world thing. Even if it existed, if there was a group of Jewish people, was the powers of Zions or whatever the thing is, who knew all this stuff, every Jewish person not in on it. Oh, of course. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so it's not all the Jews. Well, no, I say, well, you did say Jew. We just, anybody says Jew. So you're saying some Jews, some powerful Jews. Well, all of them, every single one of them. Let me tell you something. Anyone who speaks in generalities is generally wrong. Baskets of deplorables, anyone? Generally wrong. So no, I mean, but it's like the man is truly in the inner city. Has the inner city fallen? Has the American culture fallen to a point where negative behavior is rewarded and encouraged? Is there mothers who are really saying, hey, what happened to Ray Ray? Oh, Ray Ray, you know, he got caught up in the streets. As in, it's really easy to step out your door and do the wrong thing. Is that really a thing? Yes, that exists. That's true. Now, is there some cabal international who believe globalists and less local control and less democracy? I went over that in a whole podcast. Yes, I did. There's professors who say that you have to have less democracy to have more global fairness. If you're going to have a global fair, where goods and stuff, you gotta have less nationalism and less democracy. Because if you have a nationalistic democratic system, people will vote for their own interests to bring their jobs. They're more protectionists because they want to protect their jobs. That exists. It ain't all Jewish. I keep telling people, Enron was not all Jewish. There was a lot of white dudes who were Christians who were just robbing old ladies. That's a true fact. That's called facts. The difference between the alt-right and the 1488ers, supposedly, is facts. In Enron, which was an evil company designed to take advantage of people, there were white people. It was not all populated by Jews. They're all controlled by Jews. Not yet. This is where it breaks down. Well, let me get that. So, for the alt-right type guys, mostly probably not people in this audience, because like everyone that I meet, that listens to me also, is really just kind of a you know, their mind is very neutral, very kind of going about their own business, you know, dealing with their own thing. They're very, you know, very normal kind of people, I think. And so you guys are average, you know, you're like in the middle of the bell curve. And so you don't have these black boogeymans. You don't have this all right boogeyman. You're like, I don't think the Jews, I'm not really, no, that's, but do you understand what they're trying to reference? That's the difference. The Republicans, the establishment Republicans, and MSNBC leftist liberals will say, if you say the Jew, you're anti-Semitic, you need to be destroyed, and you are irredeemable. Okay, that's their opinion. But do you understand where the angst is coming from? They're saying, they're trying to say, in my opinion, and maybe I'm giving them too much credit, blah, 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 whatever. But the way I try to do it is I try to make friends, not enemies. Here, ready? They're trying to allude to the fact that it's too easy. There's this entire structure built around there's not a structure promoting European history, promoting Western values. And by not promoting Black History Month, literally you found out by not saying something positive about this minority or that minority, you were actually saying a lot of negative. And so they're saying, okay, that's, you know, where's that? And then you find out, you know, it's funny. Why? As a, you know, your white women like to wait till they're 40 and want to have 1.5 kids. I'm ready now. Well, guess what? yeah. No. And they're like, oh, it's the Jew. Well, no, it's not really the Jews, but it's like the man, because there's a lot of white people listening to the audience. Like, I really never held any black dude down, and I don't know really how to do that. And I believe, I know I'm going out here on a limb, I believe that there's a lot of white people listening to this part who are not in the country clubs making $1 million and sitting around with cigars and whiskey talking about how they can keep black people poor. I'm gonna go out on a limb and believe that's true. Might not be true, but it could be true. And I'm gonna go out on a limb and say it. New World Order, that's our people's boogeyman. Agenda 21. Is there an agenda out there? Most likely. Is there a group of people sitting in a bunch of NGOs to say that freaking the first world has to use less electricity and we got to get them all wiped their butts with their hands? Yes, there probably is. But are these people the prime motivators of all your inks, of your issues? Most likely not. Just like the man, just like the Jew, the New World Order is probably not coming for you right now. Yes, there are smart people sitting around going, yes, we need to change Western civilization. And probably for the negative. Because it's not any of their business to change us. We're not authoritarian. We don't believe in authoritarianism. We don't believe these 12 smart people can come up with a better plan than everyone. Even though we're a bell curve of intelligence, we probably can come up with just as good of a plan. And since it came up with our plan, we feel a lot better about it. Thank you very much. You guys ready? Thank you very much. The New World Order. You want to talk to New World Order, man, Gen 21. Okay, yes, there is a dude. More importantly, I'm worried about the socialists. I mean, there are true socialists using the rules for radicals, and you're running for local office. That's crazy talk. Agenda 21. What I make by that title is that all of these are similar in their own way, applying to different sections of America. The man, the streets, the Jew, the New World Order. All of them. That's their boogeyman. That's the thing that's coming out there. Sorry, the Jew did not cause you to get divorced. The Jew, let me tell you something about the alt-right. If you guys, people who are in the alt-right, hey, people in the new Black Panther Party, Black Lives Matter movement, if you guys go out and create healthy families, self-sufficient families, get married, stay married, have a stable job, and then a lot of you do that, I believe your movement will succeed. I truly do. No one is forcing you. What I'm trying to say is that, yes, there's a problem. Yes, the culture in the black community or in inner cities and heck, all over the United States now encourages people. Promotes. Or is neutral, makes it easy for people to do the wrong thing. People get a problem when you say encourage. But the society is set up for poor black people to make it very easy to do the wrong thing. And society shouldn't be set up that way. Society should be set up so that it's encouraging you to do the right thing for the right reason. That's how society should be set up. But it's not set up that way. It's set up to encourage, or at least to allow, or to make it easy to do the wrong thing. And yes, for those guys who think about, you know, the Jew, the other, there is this thing of belittling, minimizing the contributions of Europeans, and trying to make Europeans uncomfortable in their own skin, which is not right either. Look, people, let's call America America, not even race. People have invented so much that every American shouldn't have to work. We can live off the royalties of what we invented. We should be able to charge a fee for everyone who is flying today. We invented flying. Two white guys, their white sister, by the way, who went to college. The Wrigley brothers didn't even go to college. Their sister went to college. She made up a business and defended their patents and blah, blah, blah. We should charge a fee. Every single person who flies an aircraft should have to pay a whatever fee, and it comes back to America and distributed to the people, not to the government, and we should just live on the royalty. Every single person who picks up a phone call, who wants to make a phone call, pay a fee. Royalty to America. That's how much people have invented, yet they want to make people feel uncomfortable in their own skin. They want to say, hey, America's invented and advanced the human race this far, but we're going to say that their culture is the same as that other culture over there who has not contributed. It's money. Money is the issue. Well, you know, I don't think so. Every single person who makes a phone call in the world should be paying a royalty fee to America's every single person. You use the internet? Okay, fee. We invented that. And by the way, mostly white guys, not white women, white guys, white men invented this. And so they go, man, what the heck? Why can't, you know, we be the champion? I want to get paid. Hey, everybody get paid. We all, from now on, we don't invent nothing unless we can lock down the rights forever and live on royalties. That way, if we want to invent stuff, we invent stuff and then we can do it. We don't get anything. What has America gotten out of advancing the human race as a whole? Europeans too, Russians too, as a whole have advanced heavily by the work that America, every day we invent pharmaceutical drugs. In America, they cost $1 a pill, whatever it is. You go to India, it costs 1 cent a pill. And the pharmaceutical company says, well, we can't let you re-import. We can export your job, but we can't let you re-import that medicine because then we wouldn't have enough medicine to bring the next medicine. So Americans, every one of you you're not just subsidizing welfare recipients in America. And blacks should be like more defensive of these are our white people. These are our white people. They supporting us. No more. No immigration. We're living good. No. No, thank you. We don't need no more poor people. No. No. That's what Trump is telling black people. Now, he's not saying that, but it's true. He's like, hey, you got a good thing going here. No, sorry. We need no more poor people. These are our white people. They work for us. Every single person who's working and paying taxes, actually, not even that. Every single person who's just buying drugs is subsidizing the world. You are subsidizing the world medical. You are welfare paying the world. Yet, there's this whole theory to make you feel uncomfortable in your own skin. It's like, what the? No! No, sir, Bob. No. No. And then New World Order. Oh, you guys want to go live? You guys want to talk about political migration? If you don't have a place to go, if you don't have relatives in Texas, you don't have relatives out in the rural area, come up here and live in the Montana, Wyoming, and Idaho, the core states of the American readout. It's already American. It's already red country. It's already, you know, heavily conservative. We want to make it more libertarian, more conservative. Come up here, vote heavy, get involved, do whatever you got to do. I don't care what you do. Involve, push your things, push whatever you got to do. But always talk about liberty under Christ. New World Order, man, is going to stop you. New World Order, man. New World Order coming for you. This is a new world. Matter of fact, you might be working for the New World Order. I don't think I'm working for the New World. You might be. I don't think I am. I, you know, how do you prove it? What, right? Prove a negative. Always prove a negative, right? Anyway, The American readout, race neutral. We're about personal responsibility. We're about changing ourselves. We're about helping our neighbors change. And we're about being a community to ourselves. And we don't give a rat's ass if the man is trying to get us, if the streets are out there to get us, if the Jews are out there to get us, if the New World Order is out there to get us. We don't care. They may be preparing the rope. They may be making things easy to do the right way. But you still got to make those choices to get in there. The streets are there. Move. Get out. Run. Some people want to talk about the fact or the belief or the strong belief, or I believe the fact that society is not designed to encourage positive behavior. Society is designed to accept negative behavior. And some say to promote negative behavior. Yes. And that's reflected in different ways. But that doesn't hold you back. Tomorrow morning, get up. When you shave, you look in the mirror. What is my line? What am I willing to die for? And then stand on it and actually commit to it. Most of the people in the sound of my voice that I'm sorry to tell you, no, it's like Moses, right? No, you're not going to probably make it to the we are not going to probably make it to the promised land. Do you know how many Americans did not make it to America who died fighting for this, to make this nation? If anything pops off, then we are not probably going to make it. But we are going to give everything we can so that when we stand in front of our Creator, we can say we've done everything we can to secure the future for our children. And that's the point. And nothing, no boogeyman is going to stop us from doing that. Because the real war is within ourselves. I am willing to kill for these things. Viva Cristo Rey, Viva Cristo Rey, Viva Cristo Rey, y the Virgin of Guadalupe. It's a no-knock raid. It's a no-knock raid.